Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Can do it better for them. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, the flowers and the ashes. Put your hands together for them. Wow. They are looking nice. Yeah. Oh, you don't agree with me? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Jesus is the way. Amen. And today, Psalm 119, verse 24, it says that thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And we are always happy when God gives one of us a testimony. We are always delighted to share the happiness, the joy, the deliverance, and everything. Amen. So, church, help me welcome Eugene Osei Tutu as he shares his testimony with us. Do it better for him. Let's welcome him. He has an amazing testimony to share with us. Okay, Eugene.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Eugene. So my testimony is about divine protection.
Okay.
Or how God saved my life. So on the 3rd of January, I had early on traveled to far eastern region. Nothing happened. And I think if you recall, Mommy shared a message about an accident at Jinyase,
where she was talking about how normal routes we use to our homes can cause accidents. You know, it came close to home. So I'd gone to the eastern region, come back, everything is fine. So the 3rd of January, I was home. I closed from work, I was home. But that was when the SHS had reopened. And there was this issue about whether they were to go to school because of food and all that. So my sister had also come from the eastern region from her Christmas break. So I called the school. They said, oh, I can come. And I said, wait, Saturday, I'll bring her. They said, come. It was a Friday, the 3rd of January. So I took her in the car. We went to school. I was coming back. So I had gotten to, I live at Odium, Bebre.
Okay.
So I had gotten to the Odium traffic light, where there's a turn to Ahoma. So you go straight to Odium, then yeah. Valley View. So I was just roughly 1.5 kilometers from my home.
Wow.
And it's a normal route I use every day,
every day.
So I was in the inner lane. Then I said, let me switch to the outer lane because I'll buy some stuff to the house.
Wow.
So I'll use the Homaso stretch. So just as I turned, someone called me. I used two phones. So I was trying to locate the phone. I raised my head, saw in my mirror. Bang!
Mercy.
It's the loudest noise I've ever heard.
I can't imagine.
And bam, just like that. And it moved me. So I froze for a minute. I didn't know what was happening. It was when I got out of the car, I saw the impact. So this Ford Efijasi Ejoso cars, I don't know what the guy was doing. He just hit someone in the inner lane. It threw him to my lane.
Wow.
Then hit me at the back. Then I also hit a Ford.
Hey.
So wow. That's how I had the impact on my front.
I see the picture on the screen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I hit a Ford. My car and the Ford, you can see there's no competition.
Wow.
Then the Ford also hit another Efijasi like car. So five cars.
Wow, five cars.
Yes, and I came out the west. My two glasses were gone. My gates were gone. I was locked in the car for a couple of times before they were able to push me out.
Wow.
Yes, but I'm fine. Just my legs, but I'm better.
Wow, we thank God. Church, put your hands together and give God the glory. So you did what happened next?
So, but I want to say this, that on Sunday I was asleep because I locked myself and I saw a whole platoon of church members in my home.
Wow.
And I know the one who did that is Mommy.
Oh,
and I want
nice.
To say
church,
thank you.
Put your hands together.
This year has been tough for me, but it's one of the highlights of my year so far.
Thank God.
I mean, all of them in my house, and wow, I'm so grateful to them. But what I'll say to the church is that this is my 10th year here. And if there's anything
you can do it better.
And if there's anything I know, it's a good place to be.
To be, okay.
Sometimes you all have that feeling. Oh, is there a better place somewhere? There's no place like this place.
There's no place.
We are family, we are home. Abide here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you. Eugene, God bless you. Church, put your hands together and let's welcome LP.
Indeed, those that we planted in the house shall flourish. Amen. This year, we've been praying on the point from the greater and better topics. And one of the prayers that we've prayed about is that we prayed against accidents. We pray that God will preserve our lives. I don't know how you took those prayers seriously, but I can tell you that we've had a certain covering. So if you have not been praying some of those prayers, please, we have it online. If you don't have it, you can even see me as a church. I can send it to you on WhatsApp. But by the grace of God, our mother invited a man of God this weekend, and we had a very powerful experience. And by the grace of God, once again, we have this woman of God here with us this morning. Church, help me welcome our pastor, our favorite teacher,
Father, we thank you for every preservation of life. Thank you for your mercy and your grace towards us. Thank you for keeping us and gathering us again this Sunday. I pray, O God, that you speak a word to us. May the word be deep in our spirits, O God, and touch us at the point of our need. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen. Can you just catch up your Bible for a few minutes and let us say our confession? I discovered that present service has been envying our confession. Today they came with their whole appeal. The whole church appeared with Bibles. That's I'm telling you, it was a whole war. But lift up your Bible and let us say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. The word of God is helping us. The confessions are helping us. Amen and amen. And I was especially pleased to see that the film stars are back on road. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So God bless you so much, Aiku and Co. It was a blessing to see you. Amen. Oh, I said amen.
Amen.
Wow. Eugene, we thank God for saving your life. And I believe that God's mercy is shining on you. And to the brethren who, I mean, it's a nice family. Do you know that? Yeah, we're just talking, and I told them this is what has happened. I thought one or two of them will go. Charlie, the whole squad. Are you there? So later I said, oh, Ishan, how? Did you see the guys from church? He said, hey, mommy, everybody. It's nice. It's really nice. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Make sure you have a squad in church. Please ask your neighbor. Who knows you? Hey, you are very. I said, who knows you? Very, very important. Very important. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're so grateful to God. Amen and amen. Beautiful. Well, we've been talking about how God makes us wealthy. And I think this is my last installment of it. I could preach on it for a whole 2 months. Who knows? We might come back. No, we are curing ourselves. Hey. Unless you want poverty to come and find and be, it will not be sitting by us. And you see, you will notice as we have gone through the different weeks that it's not just in one way. The Lord knows that we are not one person. We are different. And so for each of us, it might be something different. Amen? Oh, are you there? Yeah. Something different. But all of us have access to wealth. Yeah. All of us have access to wealth. And I'm so grateful. I thank God it's not dependent on where I'm from. It's not dependent on my family. It's not dependent on my gender. It's not dependent on anything. Hallelujah. Amen. So we were talking about how God makes people wealthy. We went through a number of them. We said he makes them wealthy by giving them power to make wealth. Amen. And your scripture was Deuteronomy 8:18. Then we went on. He makes people wealthy by adding all things to their lives when they seek him first. And that was Matthew 6:33. Personally, this one is very special to me because I believe that I've seen it in my life. Amen. Then we went on to say that he makes people wealthy by giving them the grace that brings sufficiency. Some people just have a certain grace. Please tell your neighbor that, listen, the devil also gives wealth, brings wealth, but that's not the one we are looking for. Hey, he adds too much sorrow. We don't like that one. We want God's own. I believe last week we spoke about him making people wealthy by breaking the curse of poverty. Yeah. Some people think that poverty is geographical. It's not geographical. It's a curse. Yeah. It's a curse. Amen. Well, today I'm hoping to quickly go through. It's not the points are a lot. We'll be here for 10 weeks if I'm to take point by point. But I just want to pick some of them. Amen. And when we get a chance, maybe one day we're going to have a convention on this, the wealth from God. Yeah, so that one can take time and deal with it. Amen. Because I don't think that you should be poor. I don't think so. I don't mind where you are from. I don't mind your name. I don't mind which family you come from. I don't think you should be poor. Because at the end of the day, you are a child of the living God and he distributes wealth. Are you here? Yes. But you need to know, you see, that the eye cannot see what the mind does not know. So sometimes the knowing is very, very, very important. One of the things about God is that the more you know, the more you gain. So you can be a believer, or you have given your life to Christ, but you'll be sick and you'll die. You can be there with nothing, just as if you didn't know him, because you didn't know anything. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You can be a believer, but you're worried about everything. You are worried when you stand on the roadside that a car will knock you. You are worried when you sit down that the roof can fall down. You are worried when it is raining that, yeah, there are people who live like that, worried about everything. Meanwhile, in the scripture, it says that be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And the peace of God will, but you, it's there, but because you don't know. And so that's why I'm taking my time. It's not because the greater and better message is finished. It's not finished at all. But one of the desires in my heart is to see you do well. Oh, are you there? Hey. Sometimes I tell God that the day I die, rich men should carry my coffin. Yeah. Other times I tell the Lord that the day I die, men of God should carry my coffin. In other, yeah. So maybe I should add rich men of God. Yeah. Please ask your neighbor, you when you die, who will be carrying your coffin out? You may think it is not important, but it's because you have not gone to the funeral of a drunkard before. Have you gone to some funerals that you are even embarrassed to be there? Hey, you can go to some, when you see the misbehaving that's going on, you realize that that's the person's squad. Your people, you were misbehaving person. Hey, it makes a difference. Are you in the church? I remember one of our pastors, his mother passed, and we went to the funeral. I was amazed. This woman had 6 children. 5 of them were men of God. Oh, yes. And her children, they allowed somebody to carry the coffin. They carried. I said, wow. What an honor. Amen. And it's important. You think it's not important. As soon as you see a coffin being carried by drunkards and they are running, with it, lifting it, throwing it around it, you know that it's not the person who has passed, not a serious human being. It's very quiet. You are very quiet. If even you were going with your donation was 300 cedis. By the time you see the riffraff, you just remove it and you say some 50 cedis will do over here. But you also go to some, you say that, hey, what I'm having in my pocket is not good enough. No, it's an honorable person who has passed. Are you in the house? Anyway, I don't even know why I'm on that lane this morning. But we are talking about the living. Hallelujah. Amen. And so our God has a lot of grace to give us. Now, one of the graces God gives to make us wealthy is the grace to give. The grace to give. Because giving is one of the ways by which he multiplies what we have given. Now, all of us give to some degree. All of us. But what you may not even realize is that your giving is in the proportion of what you have. So when you come to church and every day you have brought 1 cedi, it says something. I mean, honestly, we don't know. And I honestly don't care. If you understand when I say I don't care, it's not a matter. We don't handle you in this house based on the size of your offering. Have you seen us? Like all the people in the front, they'll be at the back. Oh, as I'm looking at it. If it was according to what you have. Please, if you are sitting in the front and you know that if we were looking at what you have, you don't qualify. Please, just show me your hand like that. Yeah, you ought not be here. It's not by what you have. It's not by what you have at all. Oh, are you? No, but I'm just trying to show you something. Hallelujah. By this time, giving scriptures should have been on the board. Because he says something to us. He tells us that when we give, he says that he will give back. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. So if we really believe that scripture, it would have affected how you give. Please, did you hear the scripture I'm quoting? It should have been up there by this time. Are you there? So it is one thing to believe the scriptures, but there's also a further dimension. Now, this scripture, if you believe it, there's no way you'll be putting offering of 1 cedi inside. You only put 1 cedi because you don't believe the scriptures. And you feel that you are dashing God money. In fact, you feel that as I put it inside, I'm losing. But if you're a believer of the scripture, hey, I will give well. Because if what I give, it will be given back to me. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Are you in the church? And you have a lot of things to give. Oh, Pastor, I don't have anything. Really? Go back to your room. Go and look for the dress you have not worn for a year. By this time, it should have gone. The sandals you have not worn for a year. Somebody could make use of it. Have you seen that you're looking at me? You have made yourself poverty chairman. That's why you have not seen that it could have gone. Now, what you will find out happening is that as it goes, it is replaced. Yeah. And I can tell you, you know, I was telling my son this morning that one of the nice things about being older is that you see the confirmation of what you have believed. Yeah, you see it. You've lived long enough to see it. I cannot tell you the number of times I have practiced this thing. I can't tell you. Are you in the house? Yeah. I just look at everything that I've not used in a year. Just put it together, send it somewhere. And before I'm aware, I don't know why you are looking at me like that. One day I woke up, I said, oh, at the end of the day, all the earrings and stuff, there are only some that I use. Most of them I don't. They were nice to me when I got them, but I don't use them. So I removed everything. And I called Lady Rev Humi and I said, Lady Rev, I don't know what you do with it, but I mean. So she went and shared them. Are you there? I have to tell you that they were replaced.
But they were not just replaced. Good measure. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. Have you seen that you are quiet? Yeah. Because it's a scripture that works. I know there are people who give cars. And you will never see them in the trotro. You see, it is fine protocol that's not making me ask that. Who is here you have given a car before? Because if I ask, then you'll be every day, you'll be going to beg, please, can I have some days? The reason why you are begging is that you have refused to live by the scriptures. They say, oh, he has money, she has money. It's not that he has money, she has money. Many have lived on the scripture, and the scripture is working. Please, I want you to ask your neighbor that you, why is the scripture not working for you? Hey, why is it not working for you? Please, I don't know who I will give my address. I don't know who I will give my, I don't know. Okay, you don't know, you don't know. That's why God has also said that also in the church, bring offering. Because that one there, you just put it inside. It doesn't, I mean, you don't know whether it's going to buy cement. You don't know anything. But that one too, you are bringing one city. I tell you something. If you'd come to the house, you never bring an offering. 0 times whatever you put there, the answer is 0. 0 times 10 is what?
0.
Times 100 is what?
0.
Times 1,000 is what?
0.
Times 2,000 is what? 0. Times 100,000 is what? You keep coming, you bring nothing. It's nothing. Hey, are you in the church? A sign of your wealth is the offering that you put. And it's not, you see, God forbid that we should monitor what you put in. I can't monitor it, but you can monitor. I have had times. One time I told God, I said that I should never put less than 50 CDs in the offering. Who told me to say that? Nobody. I just felt that, oh, but if I'm coming to even dash you money, will I give you only 10 CDs? Even you. When I say even you, are just like me. Then I come to, I want to give you money. When you look at that, I give you 2 CDs. Will you be happy with me? How many of you, if I give you 2 CDs, you will praise me and say, oh, very well done, mommy. I'm so thankful for these 2 CDs that you have given to me. I've never had such... Even you know that the 2 CDs is not good enough. But that's what you have been doing to God. So I told God that no. Are you there? And the point is that, you see, so there's even the normal giving that already does a lot. Then he also comes with a grace to give. And the people who have the grace to give, when they are giving, sometimes they are giving what they don't even have. But you see, God multiplies it again. So after a while, you know, I hear people saying that, hey, the pastors, they have been taking our money. They have been chopping our money. They have been this. God forbid. I don't know where you've gone to pass, but in this house, we don't chop your money at all. We don't even see it. It's not in our hand. It's not in our hand. It's not in our anything. Are you there? But when you go and check, we are doing very well. And the reason is the grace to give. Are you in the house? The grace to give. One time I was looking at some young bishops. They're all very young. The oldest of them is in their 30s. And all of them have homes that they built. And I looked further. And I knew their salary. Their salary is less than your salary. What they had was a grace to give. And sometimes we're there. We say, oh, Galatians 6:6, it's time to bless our father. When the fathers are giving 50 cedis, 100 cedis, those children are giving $2,000. I said $200. $2,000. How? They decide that my next 2 months' salary, I put it together. Whatever I'll eat, I'll eat. And they give it. And you see it in their lives. It's a grace to give. I love your quietness. Because you, instead of bringing grace to give every day, they are saying that we should collect. You are talking yourself into poverty. No wonder the poverty has not gone anywhere. Every day, last time I gave offering. Today they are saying that we should give them. Do you know something? When there's an offering that you don't have, do yourself a favor. Just shut up. Just yourself. Maybe I don't have it. I will not talk about it. I will not say anything. Don't bring a problem. It's a problem you don't have. You don't need to have it. But sometimes stretch your faith. Stretch your faith and say that, I think I want to test. Do I have this grace for giving? Amen? Sometimes you should give somebody something just because you can. Pay somebody school fees just because at this material time, usually I don't have money to pay school fees, but at this material time, I have it. Pay it. I can see that it's a very hard message today. Yeah. But I need to tell you that it really works. It really, really, really works. Hallelujah. Are you in the church? So if your existence is still hand to mouth, then I need to just say to you that, Charlie, I think you have to start soaking in some word. It has to change because the giving is a grace. The grace to give. And it's one of the ways that the Lord makes you wealthy. Because he keeps on multiplying it and multiplying it and multiplying it. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Now, I want us to continue. I want to give you two other ways by which he makes people wealthy. The next one, he makes people wealthy by giving them particular talents and skills. Particular talents and skills. Yeah. Particular talents and skills. And many times you see very skilled people. I mean, when they are doing their something, it's very wild, you know. A particular talent, a particular skill. Many use it, they don't even remember God. But you are in the house. I want you to look at your talents, look at your skills, the things he has given to you to do. You see? Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3. Give me verse 2. Let me see something. Look at somebody. This is just a normal person. I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. So this was a human being called Bezalel. Let's see what God gave him. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And now look at what he was going to do. Should we take it in simpler English? Can you give us the NLT? So let's go back to verse 3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. I want to ask you if you know anybody who works in all three. Most of the time, a goldsmith is a goldsmith and a silversmith is a silversmith. But this guy could do both gold, do gold, he could do silver, he could do bronze. And God said, I gave it to him. The next verse, it gets even wilder. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones. And in carving wood. One man. So now the man is what? He's a carpenter. He can do the carpentry. Then he can do the gold. Then he can do the silver. Then he can do the bronze. And he can do stone. He is a master at every craft. Hey. Every craft. What does verse 6 say? Then he goes on. He has appointed somebody to help the guy. But this one human being, gold, he day. Silver, he day. Bronze, he day. Wood, he day. Singing, he can do. Films, he can do. Dance, he can do. Talking to people, he can do. Cleaning up, he can do. Decor, he can do. Yeah. The only problem is that you have not respected that God has given it to you. Many people I know who are gifted, you don't respect the gift that they've given to you. Church is very quiet. God gave it to you as a means to make you wealthy. That's why even though you studied something else, when you sit before a computer, you understand it. Most of us, we just use it. Church is very quiet. Please ask your neighbor, do you understand the computer that I have? Do you understand it? I can tell you that most of us, we just know that if you press here, you get this. And if you press here, you get that. And if you press this one, you get that. But there are some people. Ask the some. There are some people. That was not even their school training. When they sit behind, they know that if I do this and I do this one, I do this, and I multiply this one by this one, by this one, by this, this is what is going to happen. But they don't know that it is a gift. They have no idea. Hey, you alone, you can run. You can play table tennis. You can play basketball. You can swim. You can do pole vault. You can do high jump. But look at you. Lazy bones. Lazy bones. Lazy bones. Bones, bones. Even as I'm preaching, something is doing me. Hey! I said, something is doing me. As you are there, you can do hair. You can braid hair. You can cut hair. You can perm hair. You can roll hair. You can dye hair. Lazier bones. Lazier bones. You can make wigs. Oh, yes, serious. You can do makeup, and when you finish, the people look like human beings, not like Kaka Botobi. You can sew. One human being, oh. One human being. So you can make dresses, you can do face, you can do the hair, cry, our hair, no, different types. You can do all, plus sewing, plus baking. Plus, hey, this one human being, goodness, my gracious me. Then when you finish, you say, God, I need a job. I want to go to an office where I wear black and white. And when I'm working, I'll be working crotchier. No wonder you are poor. No wonder you don't have money. No wonder. You say, I want to be a lawyer. You know, the lawyers have, listen, the lawyers have money, but what God gave to you was hair. Braiding, stretching, combing, sewing, cooking. It's a talent. Talent. Matthew chapter 25. Starting from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. What is the problem, la? Oh. And delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Can you see it there? To what? Every man. Ask your neighbor, what did God give you? What did God give you? Everybody gave something. Then he traveled. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same. He worked on it. The reason why the Ohia is not moving is that what he gave you, you have not done anything with it. You think people should come and beg you before you do? Or you didn't know it was a gift? There are some people, their gift is to grow things. Yeah, I have a friend like that. His gift is to grow things. He said, oh, it's just my hobby. You be there, it's just your hobby. You don't know that there are some people, just because you held the seed, when you put it in the ground, it won't grow. You think what I'm saying? I'm just saying, let me tell you something. Farmers used to be my life. I used to work with farmers. And I tell you that there are some people, the farmer will even call the person to come and say, just put your hand into my sack of corn before I plant it. Because it's like, Charlie, this guy, when his hands touch the thing, it will work. And it's not magic. It's a gift. It's not magic. But you, when you hold the thing, you even put it, you'll be tending, the thing will die there. So they do not even grow. I said, I will not even grow. This, my friend, he even moved house. He hasn't finished building. So he moved house from one place to another. When he moved to the other house, I said, oh. So when I saw the picture, I said, oh, then this one where you have moved to, you are not going to be able to grow anything because there's no land. The next time I visited him, Wakoto pot. Do you know pot? Flower pot. Flower pot. He had bought pots. His tomato farm is working pots. His cabbage farm is working. Pot. you, your house, the whole house is like a forest. Nothing is happening over there because nothing. But this guy, he has seen that I'm gifted. And so even though he has a salary, a very busy man, child, his son is working. In fact, I have to send him a text. A long time since I ate your green pepper. But yeah, when he didn't have land, crapot, it was working. Huh. What's your talent? He says he gave to everybody, some 5, some 2, some 1. But all of them, when they went to work with it, they got something. The only person who got nothing was the one who didn't work with it. Like some of you who are sitting here. Mm-hmm. And by me, the talent that I'm using doesn't bring money. Stop what you are doing. Stop what you are doing. You do not understand that there are linkages to things. So keep going. Keep going. There are links to things. Yeah. Are you in the church? There are links to things. Yeah. Wow. So when God wants to make you wealthy, he gives you talents. Gives you talents. But it's whether you are using it, whether you are even doing anything with it, or you've just sat on it because you're admiring something else, which is usually how we are. That's why the Bible says that when we compare ourselves with ourselves, we are not wise. You are looking at somebody else's own. You want to go and sit in a fully nyanyad office, you see. If you know the brokerages that is doing some people who are sitting in air-conditioned offices. And there are also some, that is their blessing, to sit in such places. Hey, push your neighbor again. What talent do you have? Some of you, the only talent that I've been seeing is the sleeping talent. That's all. That's all. Hey. There is no talent that is useless. You may think that your singing in the choir is useless. That's what you may think. But that diligent use of that talent is what gave you a husband. Yeah. In case you didn't know, in every church, the people who marry first are the choristers, and those who marry second are the ushers. Yeah. But it's because of a certain diligence to something. You come today, you don't come tomorrow. We don't know who you are. Yeah. Now, tied very closely to this topic is another way in which God makes people wealthy, and it's by making them diligent. Diligent. Can you find the meaning of diligence for us, somebody, and just read it in? Because I think the English teacher died early. Diligent. What does it mean to be diligent? You have a phone. You don't even know that it's possible to look up the word diligent on your phone. Have you seen it? Just look. Diligent. Somebody should have stood up by now. We are elite. Thank you very much. Oh. Care, conscientiousness. What does it mean to be conscientious? Wait and let her find it. She'll read it. Meanwhile, you have the phone, but who's any
agent? Conscientious. Uh-huh. Wishing to do one's work or duty well and thoroughly.
Thank you. To do it well and thoroughly. To do it properly. Are you there? So a diligent person, you do the thing, you do it well, and you do it properly. We are all dancers. Some are diligent, some are not. Well and properly. We are all singers. Some do it diligently. Well and properly. They are instrumentalists. Some do it well and properly. As for you, since you learned how to play the piano, you only know 2 chords. From 19 probe hold that you learned to today. If the song is not in key C, it's not in key G, you have no way to be able, you cannot transcribe it, you can't turn it to key F, you cannot do B flat. When the person comes and says, give me a B, you start looking and say, what is a B? Your head like, what is a B? Hey, I'm talking to somebody today. Yeah, diligent to do it well and to do it properly. You can cook, but your food is not nice. not knowing that it's a way that God uses to make one wealthy. Let's look at scripture. Proverbs chapter 2 and 21. Hey, and verse 5. The thoughts, not even the deeds, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Somebody who is doing what he's doing well and properly, even his thoughts are bringing plenty. Even his thoughts. Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So you had something, you didn't hold it well, you have become poor. But somebody who has held it well and done it carefully, the person has become rich. Hey, my goodness. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard is a lazy person, desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You may be a singer, you are not even really good at it, but you are on it. You are on it. I've been in this church for a long time and I've seen people who didn't have much of a voice, but they were on it. And the voice was being exercised and trained. We never knew before we are where they are leading sorrow. Sorrow. Yeah. I remember one day I was in my office and it was time for Good Friday. And there were some songs where we were learning because we're going to sing them on Good Friday. And as I went about my business, doing my own thing, they were rehearsing here, and I heard a voice. I heard a what? I heard a voice. And I said, wow, whose voice is that? So I picked out, they said it's such and such and such a person. I took note that the person was in final year and had never sung much. Yeah. If you're not diligent, your voice is like heaven, but it's of no use. And others whose voice didn't even measure up, but who had been on it, on it, on it, on it, on it. And the voice was changing and on it. Are you in the church? Hey, you are very quiet, oh. Suddenly you find yourself performing somewhere. Most of us, if you talk about classical music, we don't like. If you talk about hymns, we don't like. We only like certain kinds of music. But I know a lady who is in one of our churches, charismatic church. She has been on it, on it, on it, on it. When we are doing our praise and worship and we finish dancing on Good Friday, then the screen will shift to the lady. And she's on it. Playing the piano and singing. A skill that we in the charismatic church, because we say we don't need it, we don't like. But her own, we want it. Amazing. Just diligent. Hey! Please ask the neighbor sitting by you. you, the thing you have, what do you do with it? You can sing, but you want us to beg you before you come and sing. We'll not beg you. Me, I won't beg you. Not today. No. It's a gift. Yeah. Many of the people who you see leading something in church, it's not necessarily because they are the best at doing it. It's because they are the most diligent. Yeah, that's all. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm finishing my preaching. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Go to the ants, thou sluggard. Hey, the word sluggard, it feels like an insult. Consider her ways and be wise. Oh, I think I need us to read it in, even though the King James is sweet to read, I want you to understand. Let's go to NLT again. Take a lesson from the ant, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. In other words, the ant does not have a boss. But some of us here If they don't call you in the morning to pray, you can't pray. If they don't knock on your door to bring you to church, you cannot come to church. If they don't call you that's rehearsal time, you will not be there to do the rehearsal. But here is the aunt. He ain't got no boss. But he's able to get up. Take me to verse 7, please. They have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work. Some of us, they have to ask, did you pray the 2 hours? Did you pray the 1 hour? Did you pray the 30 minutes? It's a shame. No wonder the poverty has not gone. The ant that when you look at ant, it looks like it's nothing. But even the ant is able to govern itself. You can't even govern yourself. I must wake up at this time. I must wash at that time. I must cook at this time. I must iron at that. We can't do. Somebody has to do for us. It's too painful. It says all summer. Somehow that little creature knows that a time is coming when it will not be easy to get food. And it works throughout the warm season, gathering food for the cold season. What are you gathering for the cold season of your life? Verse 9. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? One all night that you came. Cannot handle yourself again. Just sleeping. Oh, I had an all night. Sleeping. Then there are also those who, no matter the all night, you don't come. Because it's like, all night there, I cannot. Anyway, you are all inside. Lazy bones, please stay on verse 9. How long will you sleep? When will you wake up? I want to show you two of my favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 10. A little extra sleep. A little more slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Have you never gone past a kiosk and the person is lying there sleeping? You are buying something, the person is sleeping. When you even wake the person up, it makes the face that you are even disturbing my sleep. Are you there? I like the King James version of this scripture because it says, so, give us verse 11. So shall thy poverty. Chese, as you are walking around, Satan has a package of poverty tied up in a corner waiting for you to continue sleeping. And he will say, she has called the poverty. He has called it. He says, so shall thy poverty. It will come as one that travels. How does one that travel come? Just like that, and they have arrived. They've traveled just like that and they have come just like that without announcement. And thy want, your need as an armed man. What has God given to you to do? Put the extra work into it. Put the extra diligence into it. Are you in the house? Hey, you are very quiet. Put the extra diligence into it. Oh, you see, I'm not very good. I didn't ask if you are very good. That's what you have been given. That's what you have been given. One day, I found out that Bishop Doug had a band that he calls his personal band. And this band, when he wants to go and preach, he wants to go and win souls, then he'll say, let's go. Then he'll take them to a place, usually a place where you are guaranteed to find unbelievers. Then the guys will go and play. And when they finish playing, then he'll preach. Are you in the church? Jojo, how many are they in all? There are about 5. They are what? There are about 10. Out of the 10, 4 are from this church. Yeah. And they were good players, always on it, on it, on it, on it. So when they went to a place where there are thousands of people, because they landed their church, thousands. Oh, hey, I was in the church recently. I tell you, the church is about 9,000 in a normal Sunday. That's why I hear like this. 9,000 people are sitting there. I can tell you that they are instrumentalists upon instrumentalists. Even my small church, present service, I have about 31 instrumentalists, my small church. You can imagine what is over there. And as they got there, they are looking for 10 people that they will call. And they call this one. And I knew them. Many of them were very diligent people. One of them, the drummer, he wasn't even very good, but what he had was diligence. Please, am I telling lies? Always there. Always there. Always there. If we were listening our best, I don't think he'll be inside. But he was always there. Always on it. Trying to do. He'll be sitting on yours. It's even burning a hole in your pants. Yeah. So you may be there. You are doing the hair. The first one is not nice, but you are on it. You catch your sisters. You'll be practicing. You catch your friend. If and when you finish, your friend will insult you. What hair is this that you have done? Then you say, I'm going to undo it tomorrow. They say, oh, can I try again? Then you try. Then you are doing. A time will come. Don't you know that there are barbers who you have to call and you make an appointment, and when you still, in spite of that, you will wait for hours. Do you think they're the only barbers in town? Have you seen that you are very quiet? And usually those guys, they call their price. Because it's like, Charlie, you're the kind of baba that you are going to. Some inquanche pastor. Baba. But there's an inquanche pastor, baba, who is on it. He's on it. Diligence. Before you are aware, you are eating out of it. Hey, the church has become very quiet. Before you are aware, that thing that you are doing that doesn't look like it's anything. They are calling you. And when you come, that's how you become wealthy. Yeah. May God help us all. And that's why before we close, I want you to take out your phone or whatever you write. I want you to write down your 5 talents. And then I want you to begin to think, am I using it? Or am I using it as best I could? Am I using it? Write it somewhere. Some of you even to write, but you can't write. I don't beg you, it's your own life. I don't have a pen. Borrow from somebody. Major. Borrow from somebody. You have a phone there, take out your phone, right? Put it on your phone. Right there, you need a pen. Somebody should get somebody a pen for me here. Write it behind your Bible. 5 things you have. Just write it there. God bless you. 5 things. Don't say anything is too small. Do you understand? Just 5 things you are good at and look at it. Oh, media, I sweep. Write it. I sweep. Hey. What have you written there? What again? Oh, I can really talk well. I can talk. You don't know that it's a gift. Write it. There are doors that open for people who talk well. Church is very quiet. One day we're somewhere. They said that we need 5 people from every denomination to go inside. They're going for a meeting with Bishop Dag. We don't need people who go and sit down there and look like Mumui. And I was there. I said, this, but you are not going to drop. I put somebody, you can talk, go. You too, you can talk, go. You too. Before they were a great man. Now you, your mum, we sit down, it's also a different kind of gift. It doesn't work here. Yeah, that being silent, maybe it's good for you, but write it. Is it working? Somebody, you know how to dress well. You don't know it's a gift. Some people, no matter what they do, they look shabby. Write it, it's a gift. I'm not talking about money. I say, you know how to dress well. One day I asked my ushers, I said, who dresses well? They all pointed to a certain person. And I told the person, start to dress them. You say, well, but what is the use of that? You'll be there and be asking me what's the use of that. The day the president is coming here, you know who I will call to go and usher him. Yeah. Hey. Oh, I can style hair, pa. It's a gift, right? Write it. Is it working? I like maths, but you have no idea the blessing you have. Oh my God, you have no idea. I read very fast. You don't know the idea. You have no idea. Write it. It's all part of what God is going to use to make you wealthy. Hey, are you in the church? There's a time in my life when I was earning dollars. Do you know why? So I said that, oh, as for this lady, if you take her to your meeting, eh, by the end of the meeting, you'll have the report you are looking for. Because I could type fast. So when they came and asked me, I said, listen, I'm not a secretary. Let's look at my face. I'm not a secretary. As you are asking me to come to the meeting. Are you there? I'm not saying, oh, please call your price. I will mention my price. Say, for every hour, you are giving me $200. It's a sketch you could do. Go and call your secretary to come and do. Because they had a problem. The problem was that the whoever was funding said that when the reports don't come, the work has not been done. So all the work that they are doing, if the report doesn't come, the work has not been done. I'm important. Who bet you are? It was a skill. It was a skill. Are you in the church? And at that time, God used it to provide for me. Yes. And man, Samba, what are you saying? You too, some, you have some. You have some. Hey! Is it working? Some of you, when they ask you to do the hair, they ask you once, they'll never call you again. Hallelujah. The Lord is helping us and he's making us wealthy. I want you to stand to your feet. And today, I want you to pray over the list of talents, the talents that you have written there. Talk to God about it. Talk to God. Because sometimes you can see, but you don't know what to do with it. Lord, what should I do? Is this what you have given me to provide for me? Then Lord, help me. Expand me. Let it work. Let it work. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. There are some people here, your only talent is to count money. It's a very valuable talent here. Very valuable. You can count money. Oh, but we can all count. It's never true. It's never true. One day I had 30 books on a stand. And I asked two people to count. One of them said it's 28. The other one said it was 32. Just 30 books, they couldn't count. Plus two, minus two. But you can count. God will use the counting. Yeah. That carefulness, he will use it. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. And if you didn't write anything because you feel you don't have any talent, I want you to say, Lord, show me. Please, I feel that I don't have anything. But they say you gave something to everybody. So, Lord, I accept that I have, but I'm not seeing it. And today he's going to open your eyes. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Talk to the Lord for a few minutes. Help us to see what you have given to us. Help us to be diligent with what you have given to us. Yes, Lord. Help us to be diligent. Forgive our sloppiness, oh God. Forgive us for needing somebody to tell us what to do all the time. And Lord, right now, we thank you for what you have given to us.
Yes, Lord.
And we are changing.
Yes, Lord.
And we are going to be diligent. Thank you for what you have given. We're giving you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise. Father, thank you that you've taken care of us. And you continue to look after us and look after all that we do. I pray, oh God, that you'll show us the different ways in our giving, in our work, in the use of our talents, in all the things that you do to help us to break through into wealth. Let it come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints shall say amen. Amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you want the wealth God gives. You have to have a relationship with him in order to have it. And you are here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus. Then it is time for you to give your life to him. To have access to what he has for you, you need to give him your life. And so if you are here, you have not given your life to Jesus. Jesus was the one who taught us. He said, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. This afternoon, you want to be born again. He says that in order to be born again, you need to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. So while if you are here and you cannot say that, I know that my name is in the book of life. Please don't leave here before giving your life to Jesus. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just lift up your right hand for me. Just lift it. We're going to pray together. Just lift it. Pastors, help me. Ushers, help me. Anybody, you've lifted your hand. Let somebody guide you. Come to me because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Come, you should not leave without knowing. Just come to me. Just come.
And give him your life today.
Just think about it for a moment.
Come on to Jesus.
Let him have his way.
And let him have
Father, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy to us. And thank you that we have access to all that you have for us. Because of Jesus. Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. And all the saints shall say, Amen.
With all of me, I wanna praise him.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.